Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve a mighty God, and He always speaks from the heart. He has many wonderful things to say to His people. Good things, cherishable things. And everything that God does, it helps us to become healthy so that we can win more souls and thrive in life. The Lord is not just concerned about other souls. He just doesn't want to lose any souls. In order to be healthy in life, you have to make choices, godly choices. And when that's in place, it helps you in every way, in every category. It helps you to be the very best you can be. Because He loves you as His son. He cares about you, His relationship with you. He will not do you wrong. He will always do you right. In this life, we're at war, terrible war. We are at war. And when the enemy does his mischief, he sets it up to cause men to be angry with God. Now, every temptation that comes your way, like we said many times on the broadcast, it's designed to harden your heart against God. Sin, that's what sin does. So when things don't go like you expect, while you're vulnerable, the enemy will say it's God's fault. Why did God let this happen to you? Those kind of thoughts and feelings come up. But Kenneth Copeland said something one time. He said, God will not do you wrong. He will not sin against you. He will not do you wrong. That's what he said. It's never God's fault. And I heard it at a strategic time by the Holy Spirit. And when I went through the worst, I knew that it wasn't. I focused my anger back on Satan. That's why we need to hear the word of God and get a firm understanding. Once you get an understanding, once you receive His word, you have something to fight from. Many people are going through warfare, and they don't always understand it. Satan is vicious against you, and his tactics, they work. If you're interested in any of Satan's ways, any of his, just one of his ways, it'll start in seed form to systematically shut down all the things that God has done for you. The sin, when people compromise, the enemy knows this. They preach a compromised message. That's why it's so important to win. Now, sin is embarrassing, and most people don't want to tell what they're going through. But the Word of God says that the same kind of temptations and problems are common to men. Everybody's going through something. Because of the warfare. Unless they learn how to fight. Once you learn how to fight and win, and the war is winnable, you have the victory. Jesus Christ gave us pure victory over Satan. He stripped Satan and gave us the victory. The problem is, people don't always understand how much victory they have. Now remember, the way we measure the word is the way it's measured back to us. The way we measure it is the way we measure it, the way it's measured back to us. So if you see it big, you can operate in it big. And the more you see it operating, the more you can live in it. Now, when the enemy tried to harass my life and get me to, he was trying to tempt me, and I didn't want the temptations. They were not welcome. But they were temptations, and they were heavy temptations to me. And I wasn't used to that kind of temptation. I didn't go looking for it, but it came my way. It was sent by the enemy. And I learned some things. But one thing that stood out, the temptations, you have to fight it with the Word of God. And as you fight back, you're using the Word of God that gave you strength in your heart. Now that's where the battleground is, in the heart. That's where the battleground is, in the heart. So what happened is, I had to learn to fight back. And I had to continue to fight back. And I was using the strength I had. Now the greatest temptations came the year I got called to the ministry. And once I got called to the ministry, and once I started ministering the Word of God, after I did the first sermon, the enemy launched a campaign, and he tempted me with women. I've talked about this many times on other broadcasts. But I learned a lot of things from this. I didn't want the temptation. He pulled their strings. And I realized that the common people have many weaknesses, and the enemy was exploiting their weaknesses, trying to get me to yield. But I knew that if I did, I would dishonor Jesus Christ, who died for me. He suffered for me, and I wasn't going to do that. Also, that's not the way I wanted to live. The men that I grew up around, they had one wife, and they loved their wives, and that's what I wanted. And the enemy knew this. He was trying to get me to betray my own dreams and goals, because the life of God is what attracted me in the first place. And I didn't want the raggedy world. I didn't want to live the world. I wanted to live according to the life of God. I wanted a good, wholesome life. The life that God gave me. Jesus saved me so I could have it. And I wanted that. I made a lot of decisions to have that. If girls that would do anything, I watched their character. If I didn't trust their character, I wouldn't date them. I wouldn't try to go out with them. I wouldn't try to get to know them. I wanted a real wife, like my mother was to my father. I wanted somebody that I could trust, somebody that would trust me, somebody that would enjoy my company like I enjoy their company. So I did the best of my abilities to do that, to have it. And I wasn't going to give it up over some stupid temptation. So I was at war, but I didn't know how to win. I knew how to stand, so I stood. And I wasn't real good at it, but I just didn't want to fall, so I fought back. I used every scripture I could find to do it. I did it biblically. I had to dig deep, folks. I didn't know how to deal with this. You know, the average boy, when he growing up, he loved for women to like him. You know, but now that was happening, I didn't want that to happen. But it wasn't normal. This wasn't just normal, you know, infatuations. This was a serious attack from the enemy. It was satanic. It was satanically inspired. So I had to learn how to win. And I asked the Lord to teach me how to deal with it. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. But help me win. I kept praying to help me win. And I worked for myself. So there were times that if I felt tempted, I would just go home and pray. Until I would pray it off. I would pray till I started laughing about it and go back to work. Or wherever I was, I'd pray until I felt better. And this was about a period of 6 or 7 months. It started around the time I did the first message. And it ended. The Lord taught me many, many things about temptation and how to fight and how to manage the word. In the spring of 88 is when I got my victory. And I knew what to do. And I could laugh at the whole thing. But I remember I said, I told Satan, I said, I'm going to win. And I'm going to expose you for what you are. I will not fall. I will fight back. I'm going to destroy your works in my life. And I and I come, and, you know, I used to listen to Charles Capps and Kenneth Hagin and other wise ministers, Scott Webb and Frank Matchin, on the radio every day. And Frank Matchin had a word saying, "Don't back off." And I had a word from, I preached a message that was similar, "Don't back up." And I would use these, this knowledge and wisdom to win. Now, Charles Capps taught about confessions. And I made me some confessions that would work. I said, "I know what to do. I'm going to kill this problem." Now, up to that point, I never heard anybody talking about how to, I never heard over the pulpit how to destroy temptations to where it has no effect on you. And that's what I was after. I didn't want to just survive. I was surviving. Surviving is not comfortable. When you're surviving, it's just like if you were running from the law. Let's say it was a terrorist organization after you. You, not the law, but you were at war and you were trying to survive. You were just trying to make it through the day from night to night. You wanted to, when the sun came up, you didn't want to be found. You're surviving. You're on the run. And if the enemy see you, he'll capture you, which is bad, and he'll kill you, or he'll kill you, which is worse. And you don't want to be captured or killed, so you have to survive. It's not comfortable. You have to run whether you feel like it or not. You have to run whether you have to use the bathroom or not, whether you're hungry or not, or very thirsty. Whether you're cold or hot, you have to go. You have to do things. It's uncomfortable. Well, surviving is uncomfortable. But I would rather survive than fall. And while this was, until I learned how to kill this problem, I did what I had to do. I studied the word. I spoke the word. I would confess it. I would pray until I didn't feel tempted. But that didn't last. That didn't solve the problem because, and I didn't know why it didn't solve the problem. I would feel, I would be relieved for a while, but I knew that another attack was coming, and I had to prepare for it. And I got stronger and stronger. See, when you resist the enemy, you get stronger and stronger, and the temptations become less effective. But that's not enough. I wanted to thrive, not survive. I was asking the Lord to teach me how to thrive, so I fought. Now, the Lord taught me that how to manage the word in my heart. And I noticed that during this season, really, over time, I kept noticing that when I ministered the word of God, when he would give me a message, I could feel the word. I felt strong because he gave me a message. There's strength in every message God gives. I could feel it. And I would, the Lord would give me a message a few weeks before I actually preached, because people would invite me and it'll be 3 weeks away, and then he'd give me a message. And I would feel strong, but over time, because I was living and fighting and doing war, by the time I preached, I had to read that message off the paper. It wasn't fervently in my heart like it used to be when he first gave me the message. Over time, I asked the Lord, why was that? And he said, the enemy is siphoning the word out of your heart. Through these temptations and aggravating situations, it wasn't just temptation. You know, I had a business, and I would call and to get parts, and sometimes the parts people didn't have them. They said they'd have them. I'd drive across town. They didn't have them. I had to go find them somewhere. It was aggravating. It was frustrating. And those things absorb the word out of you. That was also the years when GM, they put a Chevrolet motor in a Pontiac, and a Pontiac motor in an Oldsmobile. And it was just, you ask for a water pump for a Chevrolet, and you get there, it's for a Pontiac. You know, it was a very aggravating situation. But anyway, nevertheless, I survived it. And I started studying the word, and I was studying my same message again and again in those years. And then when I preached the message, I had strength to preach it from the heart. And I would still make my outline, but I had it in my heart. And I preached better. It worked better, worked out better. When you're fighting, when you love God and you fight back, you're winning. And I told Satan, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to expose you for what you are, the liar that you are. I will not fall. And the Lord taught me aspects of warfare. Now, Terrence Gibbons told me one time, he said, if you ever feel tempted with a woman, don't just pray for yourself, pray for the woman also. So I took it a step farther. I would pray for the woman and I would take authority over the situation. Now, I learned to take authority from a guy named Chris Lucas first. He was the first person that pointed out the fact that we have authority over Satan. Now, I read those scriptures before, but sometimes when you read it, you don't really look. You read it in the framework of how you think. But he pointed it out that we have authority over Satan. So I said, Satan, you can't tempt me with her and you can't tempt her with me. And that worked so effectively. Every time that women would act like that, that's what I would do. I would say, Satan, you can't tempt me with them and you can't tempt them with me. It worked. And then I got to a point, I would be dirty working on cars and women would flirt anyway. So I said, Satan, you can't tempt me today at all. And that worked. Next day I did it again. Third day I did it again. Satan, you can't tempt me at all. And nobody would bother me. The whole day went smooth. Then, eventually I forgot. And then somebody tried to flirt. I said, and this was satanic. This is not what I wanted. And this lasted a while. And the Lord taught me to love them. In 87, he taught me something about love. I almost got in a fight with a guy. When you're starting out, you're not as steeped in the word as you could be. And this guy, he got on my nerves, and I was going to cuss him out and fight him. And I hadn't done that since I'd been a Christian. I was so frustrated. The word was drained out of me. And then, I talked about this many times too. He said, at my weakest moment, people had gathered around to see this fight. And before I could say anything at my weakest point, which wasn't going to be good, the Lord said, everlasting love to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And that strengthened, that word strengthened my heart, and I was able to love him like I really wanted to. I had the strength to do what I really wanted to do. Lord, help me. I said, man, I'm gonna go buy a drink. We'll just talk about it. And I wasn't afraid. I just doing what was wise. Now, many years after I got about, 30 years later, I realized what he was doing. He was an older gentleman. But he was testing me to see if I was really a man of God, like I said I was, because they found out I was a preacher. I don't tell people I'm a Christian or a preacher. I let them tell me. If I'm living right, they'll tell me, and they figured it out. And eventually, I told them, yeah, I'm a preacher. And he was testing me. I'm glad that God helped me stand. That helped both of us. But it really helped me because I learned something about love. I said, Lord, I was going to cuss him out and fight, and I don't want to be like that. I said, I want you to teach me how to love your people, because this is not over. This is going to happen again. Somebody's going to do something, and I don't want to fly off the handle. I want to always represent you. This is also a pictorial of how God looks at the heart. He knows what people really want to do. They just don't have the strength always to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that they're hypocrites. They just didn't have enough strength to do what they really wanted to do from the heart. Now, if I had cussed him out, everybody knew I was a hypocrite. But God knew my heart. So he helped me out. I was receptive. You have to be receptive to the things of God. When the strength was available, I received it. I'm not bragging, that's just what happened. I wanted to obey God. This is war, y'all. War is... Some people have, they did well, they wasn't tried right yet. Some battles we lose. That doesn't mean that you're evil. I've lost some battles. I mean, was everything perfect? No, I was about to curse him out and fight him. That was from the mind, not the heart, but the Lord gave me strength. This is war. Your life is war. You are a warrior. Get over it. I'm a warrior. If you're not a warrior, you're a compromiser. And I refuse to be a compromiser. The enemy can use a compromiser just like he can use a criminal. Because it's hidden. People will think you're right with God and you're not. So I wanted to do things the right way, God's way. And when he taught me how to love his people, it helped me kill the temptation. That was one aspect of killing the temptation. I didn't want to survive, I wanted to thrive. Like I wanted to live like Jesus did. I said, Lord, you didn't fall for no temptations, and you enjoyed your life. I want to enjoy all of my life and destroy the works of darkness as I live. And he taught me. But there was one more problem. And I said, Lord, I got to know how to kill this problem. I don't understand it. And I did what he said about love. I love the women that were trying to tempt me. I didn't lust after them. I loved them. Because I had prayed to see them as my sisters, Joan, Gail, and Karen. I said, Lord, everybody beside my wife, I want to see them as my sister. And I don't care how appealing they are. I want to see them as people, not as objects. Not like Satan would try to get me to look at your people. These are your people, and I want to love them like you do. And that really helped. But that was one more problem that I had to learn about in order to thrive in life. And one day the Lord just spelled it out for me. He said, don't fear falling. But when he said, remember, the Lord speaks to us heart to heart, spirit to spirit. He said a phrase that made the difference. Don't fear falling. But this is what I understood. I'm not the vulnerable one. I'm in him. I have the power. I am the lion in the woods. You know, supermodels, they carry themselves as if they are in control of the room. When they walk in, I'm in charge. You bow down to me. I'm beautiful. You bow down to me. That's the way that models operate. That's how they're trained to do. But when the Lord said, "Don't feel falling," I'm explaining this the best way I can. I saw them as people, no matter how beautiful they are or how they try to control the room. I'm in control of me. I'm complete in Jesus. And I don't need nothing else to be whole. And nothing outside me will control me. The woman can be as beautiful as God made her. It doesn't matter. She's just a person. And it was, I never expected to learn. I saw what the Lord was saying when he said, don't fear falling. When I detached fear from my life, the enemy there was nothing out there that could tempt me again. Not like it did. Now, I still took temptation seriously, even now, but I'm not tempted. It's kind of like, I never smoked a cigarette. I can't be tempted with cigarettes. And I said, Lord, this the way that the enemy tempt me, I want it to be like cigarettes. I can't be tempted with cigarettes. I hate cigarettes. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I want you to help me see women like you do and not be tempted. I want to be just like cigarettes. I can't be tempted with cigarettes. I don't want to be tempted with women. Because that was the weakness the enemy was trying to exploit. Also anger and other things too, but that was the main problem. And most men, if they can get over that problem, they can do anything. And when he said, don't fear falling, that it was broken. And I said, this is so cool. This is so awesome. To the point that women that would tempt me, I would look at them on purpose. And I wasn't tempted. And then I could look away and never look back. And it was good. Now, this is embarrassing. You know, these things are embarrassing. Most people don't deal with it or talk about it because it's embarrassing. The only reason I'm doing this is because this is war. You're at war. And the Lord woke me up last night, and I've been considering how lukewarm people do. Lukewarm people, they're not willing to repent when they have to. They're not willing to repent of their sin. They keep them. They don't let it go. But they have the reputation for being on God's side, but they won't repent. And God can't get them to repent. And we'll talk about that as God leads. But this is war. Our life is war. You got to learn to win. If you win, it's beautiful. You can thrive. Thriving is better than surviving. Pearl Bailey said, I've been poor and I've been rich, and rich is a whole lot better. I have survived and thought I was going to fall, and I learned to thrive. And thriving is a whole lot better. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.